I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
He said you were involved in a racial incident.
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. And it just gets more dystopic every day. So strange things are happening. I don't need to tell you that. Some people are noticing. Mickey Rapana is kind of reminding everyone of the religion that has gripped the world, communitarianism. It's, you know, I would say it's an aspect of the religion, because the people who adhere to this doctrine or this ideology adhere to it with a religious fervor. I don't think that's really debatable. And so Nicky Rapana has been providing us continual reminders of that. For example, most recently, she says Putin is a communitarian, just like every other leader in the world, embracing the Great Reset. To see him as a communist is to miss the evolution of the Marxist dialectic. Exactly. And I would, the way I would call it, it's a continuum. It's kind of like, if I want to get everyone from A to Z, how do I do that? And that's what the dialectic represents. It's gradually by degrees, dear comrades. We go from, you know, heaven to hell, so to speak. So she says, to see him as a communist, or any of them as, you know, socialist, communist, whatever, it's to miss the evolution of the Marxist dialectic and what stage we're in now. The final perfect state of human history is when capitalism and communism are balanced into one ideology. And, you know, again, in the dialectical concept, which is a very occult, you know, Kabbalistic, there's a Kabbalistic esoteric duality at work there, and the concept that the duality of the two will cancel each other out, basically, and that you can see that in Pike's letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871, as an example. So that's kind of the idea. We'll destroy both at the same time through the duality conflict, basically. That's That's the dialectic at work. So she says, the final perfect, air quotes, state of human history is when capitalism and communism are balanced into one ideology. There are countless communitarians on both sides, sides is in air quotes also, of every ideological conflict, exactly, skillfully moving us toward the middle. And when you change your perspective a little bit, the middle is actually going in one direction. And again, it's, you know, the being managed to the middle, which is hell, basically. So she says the communitarian ideas of community, community rights and service and sacrifice are at the core of every repressive action taken by these fanatics running the global theater production called we're all in this together. It takes a village, you know, and that's part of why when you see everything that goes on around us, notice that nothing is personal or private anymore. We have no private capacity. That's the idea. Everything is public now, and so there is no you, there is no me, there's just the village. And you know, it's kind of the opposite of reality. It's really strange. I mean, there is a, again, a religious fanaticism at work here. These people devoted to this thing, even to the complete denial of self, which is a very aberrant sort of behavior. And when people emulate the leadership, so to speak, no wonder the village is acting crazy. So she points to this article over at ICIJ.org Investigations Pandora Papers. Vladimir Putin, Konstantin Ernst, Russia, TV offshore, etc. And the article is titled Putin's Image Maker Role in Billion-Dollar Cinema Deal Hidden Offshore. And of course, maybe you might recall Adam Curtis's Swipe, which we've played from time to time. And the same concept at work, and the avant-garde theater of guys like Vladislav Surkov, which isn't unique to Russia, obviously. You listen to kind of how that works, and you go, that sounds familiar. That sounds like what we're experiencing here, right? So to her point, you know, this is what we're all experiencing, dear comrades. So just to finish this, she writes, Ernst was early to sense the public's need for a common identity and meaning. He produced a hit series of public advertisements, quote-unquote, called The Russian Project, quote-unquote. Short films providing moral lessons and communitarian values, quote-unquote. Short films providing moral lessons and communitarian values. And we're subjecting our children to this nonsense every day, obviously, when they go to so-called school, which is really just subjecting them to torture. It's complete self-abdication in the name of, you know, the greater good, of course, which is insane. So this is the article, October 3, 2021, Putin's Image Maker's Role in Billion-Dollar Cinema Deal Hidden Offshore. Leaked documents reveal Konstantin Ernst's secret stake in massive state-funded privatization deal. Isn't that funny? And this is not unique, of course. This is, you know, again, getting you believing in some false dichotomy that, you know, somehow there's really any difference between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin and Justin Trudeau, for example, is why the scheme works, why it persists. So she provides us these reminders. One of the other most recent, she writes, and all the awake and knowing investigators never seem to mention what the Great Reset is based upon, what the author of the Great Reset calls it, and poo-poo all my ACL research. We ignore the philosophy and we never understand what's really going on. Then when it's introduced as the big fair solution, quote unquote, we fall for it like ripe fruit. Hat tip Penelope. And so she includes the picture. Coincidence theorists be like, you guys always claim there's some open plan to create a new world order. Evidence be like the Great Reset by Richard Florida. Good work, people. Since lockdown, everything's going green. Keep it up. COVID-19, the Reset by Klaus Schwab and Thierry Mallaret. The Fourth Industrial Revolution by Klaus Schwab. The Great Reset, Time Magazine. The Disruptive Fourth Industrial Revolution. The United States of America 2.0, the Great Reset. The Great Reset, a human livestock dystopia. Great Reset by Edward James. And obviously, that's just a small recap of evidence, be like. So, interesting stuff. And one of her other recent comments, and it's interesting to see folks discussing these things, but there's a particular irony, I think, to see these conversations happening on Facebook. People don't understand the meta conversation. I'll talk about that in a minute, a little bit. I want to dive into that again. You're being mined on Facebook. Sifted like wheat. Reminds me of Jesus telling Peter, the devil has requested to sift you like wheat, Peter. That's kind of what Facebook represents, in my opinion. So she writes, this communitarian spirit is the basis of the stakeholder principle, Klaus Schwab. That's a quote by Klaus Schwab. And then she includes a link to the 2010 article, A Breakdown in Our Values by Klaus Schwab. And I think A Breakdown in Our Values is kind of a play on words intended to, you know, it's the sophist's way, after all, to have fun like that. So I've talked about the meta issue recently. What is so important about meta, and what's in a word, dear comrades? This article is one interesting piece. So 2010, Klaus Schwab, A Breakdown in Our Values. Bonuses are a symbol of business's bigger problem, an eroded sense of duty to the wider community. And he uses this word, communitarian, four times in this article. We have witnessed a gradual erosion of this communitarian spirit over recent years. This erosion of societal values has progressed, particularly in the business world, and is also one of the primary reasons of the current economic crisis. Now, this was 2010. And let me stop here for a moment and say, here's another reason why I've tried to make this clear, you know, that what is communitarianism? It's communitarianism. It's every awful ideology that's ever been foisted upon mankind, all sort of rolled up in one. And that's kind of why it makes it difficult to discuss. You know, somebody will say, they're fascist. You know, he's fascist, he's socialist, he's Nazi, he's this, he's that, he's communist, he's whatever label you want to ascribe. And people will say, no, no, no. And the truth is, the answer is yes in every case, but because it's every awful subjugation of man, ideological subjugation of man, rolled into one. It really is kind of like Genesis 3 in the worst possible kind of way. It's the cunning self-abdication and, you know, attempted annihilation of mankind. We need to wake up and stop. And it's, you know, again, I feel like the best metaphor is the stabbing scene from Saving Private Ryan. We're encouraged to believe that we're doing it too. Shh, it'll all be okay soon. Just relax and accept your fate. It is inevitable. So communitarianism, he mentions four times, he says, this has consequences for our individual behavior. One cannot expect anything but selfish thought and action from somebody who knows that he or she is replaceable at any time, instead of, you know. And so it's ironic that these people preach this way when they are the ones who are saying that we all need to deny ourselves out of existence, if necessary. And yes, dear comrades, it's necessary, of course. But they speak, you know, of these kind of noble values while they simultaneously destroy them. So he continues, instead of a communitarian sense of duty, there is a rise of individualistic profit-seeking behavior in which society plays only a secondary role. We can't have that. We have to fight for the greater good, comrades. So he says there's a real danger that the financial and economic crisis, well, this was 10 years ago. You remember that? When it seemed, I mean, now it seems 50 years ago, doesn't it? Based on what's happened in the last couple of years. This is what they're doing to time. And 9/11 seems like 100 years ago, doesn't it? September 11, 2001. There's a real danger that the financial and economic crisis will develop into a social crisis. They're always, you know, ready to tell us about the next crisis, like Bill Gates telling us the next pandemic's around the corner. And I got a question. When are we going to wake up and start locking people up who talk like that? Not that people should be locked up for their speech, but maybe we bring Bill Gates in for questioning once in a while. Because if there was a guy running around your town for years screaming, there's going to be a bank robbery, you know, if you guys don't do something about, there's going to be a bank robbery, and then one day the bank gets robbed, kind of exactly like he said it would. I mean, and all of his buddies had been wargaming this, scenario planning this, and they had recently, you know, just, I don't know, a month or so before the bank got robbed, they had a big powwow, and it was public, and they were very, very detailed in their scenario planning about how your bank might get robbed. And then all of a sudden your bank gets robbed. Wouldn't you be a little suspicious? Wouldn't you be just a little suspicious? Or if it was your house, you know, if you don't install our Ring doorbell system so we can spy on everyone's door, listen to everything you say, your house might get robbed. Oh, see, I knew it. I knew your house might get robbed. And I told you it would happen exactly this way. Anytime now. Wouldn't you be a little bit suspicious? We should be. But again, it's like our self-preservation instinct has been bred out of us. It's a very bizarre thing to witness. So, we'll continue along on this rant, I suppose, when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We know of an ancient radiation that haunts dismembered constellations, a faintly glimmering radio station. Guard this roost beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest
bad
campaign.
All right. A couple of other things that sort of pertain to this. And by the way, I've mentioned in the past, I'll mention it again. I am fastidious about sanitizing the little tracking hash at the end of really all social media, but especially Facebook stuff. I've said it before, people don't realize they share around, even the most well-intentioned people, the things that they find on social media. And this is not picking on anybody. I'm quite literally not looking at anybody's anything when I say this. I just think of how these things circulate. And when you see that little question mark, you know, at the end of stuff, there might be a trailing slash, or there might not, but then there's the question mark, FBCLID equals, everything that comes after that is a tracking hash, and it's unique to you, so that the, you know, folks who are keeping an eye on those kinds of things can see what you shared and when you shared it and how viral it went and so on and so on. So I'm not interested in helping do any bad guy heavy lifting if I can avoid it. I'm not going to be morbidly preoccupied going out of my way trying to prevent it, but I'm not going to, you know, do any more of it than I absolutely have to either. So a couple of extra links. Well, let me just finish this. So Klaus Schwab himself, 2010, they're always about crisis. Why? Because it's crisis of opportunity, of course. That is a very real, you know, the all of the Dr. Evil and all of his arch supervillain pals say. Anyway, difficult times lie ahead. He wrote, if we want to keep society together, a sense of community and solidarity are more important now than ever. And how do we do that? Well, through conflict, the clash of civilizations, as Huntington wrote. This communitarian spirit, Klaus Schwab wrote, is the basis of the stakeholder principle. We need to embrace that stakeholder principle, not just with the narrow confines of companies, but at a national and a global level as well. And finally, he ends, from this context, the bonus debate is just a symbol of a more fundamental question, whether we can adopt a more communitarian spirit or whether we will fall back into the old habits and excesses, thereby further undermining social peace. Which sounds like the Bible, peace, peace, but there is no peace when they say it. Isn't that funny? Why? Because they're causing the conflict. And it's always in IHOP fashion, you know, plausibly deniable IHOP fashion, of course. Klaus Schwab isn't there setting things on fire, but, you know, these folks seem to have unlimited resources to be able to. Remember when Bill Gates said back in the 90s when he was interviewed by JFK Jr. and he just said this weird, you know, I have multiple sources of income. What does that mean, Bill? What do you mean exactly? So they seem to have unlimited funds to throw at pet projects. You know, Bill Gates wants the media's ear and wants the media to have our ear in turn. So he spends $390 million on that. And Canada had the same thing, right? What was it, $600 million or something that was spent in Canada, I think, recently to do the same thing. And it's, again, it's not unique to here or Canada or, for that matter, as Nikki Rapana points out, in the ICIJ, an International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, not unique to Russia either. What a coincidence. It's happening everywhere, and it's the same recipe. If I didn't know better, I swear I'd say, even though the press tries to convince us otherwise, that there was a plan somewhere, there was a central plan, central planner, and a plan being followed. So, but you know, that's a conspiracy theory, and the CIA says there is no such thing. So what better way to tell everyone, you know, to keep everyone away from the truth than to, you know, for the criminals to tell you that there's nothing going on here. It's, you know, talk about criminal mastermind. But, you know, you're crazy if you even imply such a thing. So, I digress. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. Yeah, it has a Bond, a cool, flashy, you know, 60s Bond supervillain kind of feel, doesn't it? Just strange things that happen in these days. Not sure what happened there. Anyway, that's what I think of when I see Klaus Schwab in his spacesuit. Meet George Jetson. So, arch supervillain. So, what is going on, dear comrades? What is going on? I mentioned the article Nikki posted. Klaus Schwab 2010. The communitarian way is the only way forward. Otherwise, we're just going to have conflict, constant conflict. She posted a couple of links in addition relative to that article by Schwab, A Breakdown in Our Values. I think the play on words there is, it's a breakdown. You know, first of all, who is our? If it's we the plebs, then it's a breakdown, as in they're eroding and disintegrating. But he's also thrown out a breakdown of our values, like him and his cronies. This is a breakdown of our values. So it's all about this, you know, the stabbing scene in Saving Private Ryan. Will you suicide yourself and one another's dear comrade and one another, dear comrades, or will you persist in this, you know, individualist thought? We're going to have to get rid of all of you if you can't chant in unison. I'd like to teach the world to sing. If we can't chant in unison, then, you know, we got to get rid of you. So anyway, Nikki posts this companion piece from Cambridge, the Cambridge University Press, Business Ethics Quarterly, A Communitarian Note on Stakeholder Theory by who else? Amitai Etzioni, of course. The abstract reads, this article adds to the discussion of the legitimation of stakeholding. We'll get to stakeholding in a minute. The vampires want to hold all the stakes, and they want to encourage us to drive them through our hearts instead of, you know, the vampires. So, the abstract reads, this article adds to the discussion of the legitimation of stakeholding by studying the implications of investing financial assets, years of labor, community resources, or other such scarce goods in a corporation. Hey, Julie, I don't know if everyone else can hear you, but I can in my ear. So, I don't know if you can hear Julie. I can. Maybe we should just listen to her. We should eavesdrop. Just kidding. So, I mean, that's telling, isn't it? Amitai Etzioni saying the legitimation of stakeholding, just in the abstract, by studying the implications of investing financial assets, years of labor, community resources, or other such scarce goods in a corporation. A corporation? A soulless, a heartless, soulless corporation. And who leads it? This, again, gets back to Stuart Chase, you know, the author of The New Deal, the real author of The New Deal. Well, the one who was credited this side of the Wizard's Curtain with The New Deal, anyway, talking about the same kind of thing, you know, control without ownership kind of thing. Interesting. So Etzioni writes, it attempts to respond to those who argue that it is not impossible for all stakeholders. See how they play with language and flip you around and around, like, you know, you feel like you're tossed in the surf a little bit. It attempts to respond to those who argue that it is not possible for all stakeholders to be effectively represented in corporate governance. Corporate governance? And that if they were, this would undermine the well-being of the corporation. Okay, so weird. That's a weird turn of phrase, and it gets right back to, but I feel like you're trying to play funny games with language here and get people to, you know, you're gaslighting people out of existence. It's, you know, is this better for the corporation or worse for the corporation, and only the corporation exists? That's weird. Everything's a corporation. She also includes this book review from the Law and Liberty site and blog by Samuel Gregg, How Stakeholder Theory Undermines the Rule of Law. It's a religious doctrine, essentially. As long as humans are human, some people will behave badly in business, but no cure should be worse than the sickness. So, the book reviewed is Nadia Netzel's The Rule of Law, Economic Development, and Corporate Governance. So, from the review, whenever Samuel Gregg writes, whenever I lecture about markets, wealth, and poverty, I always make one point which invariably shocks students. If you want to understand why some countries have successfully transitioned from widespread poverty to material affluence and others haven't, the rule of law is far more important than democracy. Part of the stunned reaction flows from the fact that the word democracy functions today as a synonym for everything nice and wonderful. Once, however, we get past the inevitable, "Are you saying that you're against democracy?" protestations, followed by my assurance that I favor liberal constitutionalism rooted in natural law premises, quite a few students pick up on the nuance. The more the students recognize that while things like universal suffrage have their own worth, they have little to do with economic growth per se. Moreover, as students grasp the meaning of rule of law, they gradually recognize how countries with similar starting points in terms of demographics, natural resources, geography, religion, culture, etc., can end up in very different economic places. Rule of law's centrality to free, just, and economically prosperous societies is the subject of Nadia E. Netzel's The Rule of Law, Economic Development and Corporate Governance, published in 2020. Her approach is to engage in comparative analysis of two Western legal traditions. Broadly speaking, one is the Anglo-American conception of rule of law. This, Netzel says, concerns equal treatment under the law, limited government, the jury trial, separation of powers, established judicial procedure, and problem solving by means of inductive analogical reasoning to determine what decision would be consistent with prior custom, quote unquote. The other is the continental European tradition of what she calls rule through law, Rechtsstaat. While it has many of the same institutional features, rule through law emphasizes equality and community over liberty and posits that the law should prevent conflict, not merely manage it. But it's funny how there's always conflict when this scheme is being run. Funny how it's always the way. And then along with that discussion, of course, there's the administrative discussion. Administration. The administration of government is agnostic. That might be an honest statement, quite frankly. Netzel proceeds to illustrate the different ways in which these systems shape economic life in general, and more specifically, the legal treatment of corporations. The last topic Netzel demonstrates has direct implications for a set of ideas that she believes has great potential to undercut the roots of Western prosperity. What if this was on purpose? This concerns stakeholder theory, and that's linked. Stakeholder theory is linked to the Law and Liberty blog post by Samuel Gregg, The Soft Corporatism of Stakeholder Capitalism. We'll get back to that in a second. But continuing, he writes, this concerns stakeholder theory, the claim that any company has a responsibility to all those who conceivably have a stake in the business, employees, customers, local communities, suppliers, the environment, past and future generations, etc., besides those who actually own or have invested capital in the company. And that matters less and less these days to these crazy wackos who don't seem to want to acknowledge reality. They're just going to, they're going to make a new reality. It's called the metaverse. In Netzel's view, if stakeholder theory becomes cemented into Western legal systems, the damage to businesses and market economies will be considerable. I would say you could add fatal. Resisting that trend, she indicates, requires those nations forged in the Anglo-American rule of law tradition to hold fast and not embrace stakeholder concepts of the purpose of business presently being advanced in civil law jurisdictions. I will table this for the moment. We'll play something. Now, I don't know. I think we, do we have time? We're running short. Maybe I'll hold on to that. I want to get to the Glenn Beck piece as well. Where is that? Oh, I know where that is. You know what we played? I think that piece that I mentioned last week, Glenn Beck, where is it? Not that one. Build Back Broke, How Biden's Great Reset Will Force You Into Compliance, episode 169. We'll have to do that again. And, you know, for that matter, the companion video, Why Are We Ignoring Threats from the Great Reset Proponents? That, to me, again, it's the, you know, Saving Private Ryan stabbing scene. But I think Glenn Beck did a good job in, you know, videos like Build Back Broke, episode 169, in describing what exactly, from a layman's, from the victim's perspective, or the prospective victim, or the enemy, if you're Klaus Schwab, the stabbing victim in Saving Private Ryan context, what communitarianism and stakeholder capitalism represents for, you know, those of us. The idea that stakeholders, who are they? You know, function, businesses function, and shareholders don't really matter so much as the cause. It's the, you can hear the Club of Rome at work in all of this crazy language, stakeholder language. So it's interesting that, you know, from a legal standpoint, this issue is sort of addressed head on by Samuel Gregg, referring to Nadia Netzel's book. And so in this article, he has the section Common versus Civil. And this is an old discussion. I've talked about, you know, Lee Brobst research, for example, and work of many others. And this, the idea of a conflict of laws. And so what do you, how do you resolve that? That's really kind of what's going on here. And you essentially, through that dialectical conflict, you destroy one or both. And then you emerge at the synthesis, which, you know, for these guys was always the planned agenda. You destroy everything in the wake of its path, basically. So Greg writes, Netzel is a distinguished scholar of comparative law who teaches in Louisiana. Her focus matters because Louisiana is the only jurisdiction in the United States in which private law has been heavily shaped by the legacies of French and Spanish colonial legal codes. And, you know, I mention from time to time when these kinds of discussions arise, John Adams' dissertation on the canon in feudal law, published in 1765, which curiously is around the same time he listens to James Otis defend the Boston merchants against, he explains this in his series of letters to William Tudor in the summer and into the fall of 1818, what he referred to as Mr. Otis's argument of 4 or 5 hours against the acts of trade as revenue laws and against writs of assistance as a tyrannical engine to execute them. This is the same spirit, basically, at work today in America. And I would say this is, it's the sort of the same modus operandi, if you will. And so I think that's, I don't know, a fascinating side note. And speaking of a dissertation on the canon of feudal law, I'm always reminded of John Adams' words that the way he put it, there seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. He was pretty specific. And I think, you know, the broader quote and context apply probably in every generation. And I think it really is kind of at the heart of what Samuel Gregg is saying and what Nadia Netzel is saying and many others, Nikki Rapana, etc. It's the same old battle. Stick around. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Welcome back. I really do think it's fascinating. You know, you look at all of this, you look back a long while perhaps, but a long while is a relative term designation, I suppose. And you see that apparently Solomon was right. There's nothing new under the sun. Even though the Bernaysian contingent is masterful in repackaging things as new and improved, packaging gets fancier, but the ideas don't seem to change. And so I think John Adams was very helpful. You know, he was the guy who reminded us every generation should go back and gather up all of the everything that you can find that was published around the time so that we can figure these things out and, you know, reason through these things ourselves, each generation. Do we do that anymore? Well, who has time, right? Besides, you know, the Olympics is on and Facebook is calling, so who has time? It's interesting, though, to look back and reflect on these things as guys like John Adams encouraged us, you know, even exhorted and admonished us to do. To gather up history ourselves and to know it. Yeah, but, you know, we can rely on the philosopher kings to do that for us and the historical revisionists to present to us the narrative that somebody other wants us to know. So why get our own corn when we can get some free corn, right? I can spend my time on more important tasks than that mundane, repetitive task of getting my own corn. Klaus Schwab will get my corn for me. So, you know, you read through John Adams' perspective on James Otis's defense of the Boston merchants against what today we could effectively call communitarianism, in a sense, of a forerunner or harbinger of it, and its authoritarian bent. And it's interesting to see the dichotomy at work. You know, John Adams is saying, I mean, he explains very articulately to William Tudor what this defense and what Otis stood for represented. And obviously it was no small thing because this is at the heart of the revolutionary period. And he says, you know, basically this leads to a state of societal peace and every man acting in his private capacity and kind of reasoning through these things between him and his maker. And the communitarians say, no, John, you're seeing this all wrong. It's actually the opposite. This will lead to conflict, and so everything becomes public and the state has to step in. But wait, is it the state or is it corporations of stakeholder capitalism? We're not sure. You're seeing this wrong. So it's interesting how you can see the dichotomy at work there, just in the way that people view this concept. Anyway, that'll do it for the first hour. The second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.